Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. How many are worshiping God this morning? Amen. How many know God is worthy of all our praise, all the glory, all the honor? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just go one more time. Let's just worship Him a little bit. Father, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You for what You're doing, God. God, we ask You, Lord, that You would, Father, even now, Father God, Lord, begin, Father God, to speak to us clearer than we've ever heard You before, Father. Allow us to hear what You would have for us today, Father. We thank You for it. We thank You for this worship team this morning, God. We ask that You'd bless them, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Lord, we know that You are in charge. How many say amen to that? How many know that you don't have to wait to find out who's in charge? Amen. We said that last week. How many know God's in charge? God is in charge. So, Father, we thank You that, Lord, we serve You. How many say amen? Amen. You can be seated if you like. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. A little bit thinner today, seems like. I do want to thank all the people that helped with the funerals. We had two funerals this week, and it was a good time. I mean, you know, for funerals, what do you say about a funeral? You know, but I want to, you know, thank all of you ladies and guys that helped. Sound booth, doing videos, working in the back. I just thank God for all of you that made it a nice memorial services for these folks. I just thank you guys this morning. Hey, don't forget today is Turkey Sunday. If you forgot your turkey, we're going to be spending a little time loading up turkeys. So we can wait for you. Just last year when we were on our way, we had people calling us, "Hey, I brought the turkey to the church." I said, "Well, we're already on our way down. Go ahead and take it home, you know, and eat it." Amen. How many like turkey? Anybody like turkey? Nobody, yeah, just six of us, seven of us, maybe eight, nine, ten. Okay, yeah. I like turkey once a year. Yeah, praise God now. But, like Abe was saying, the gift boxes are going out today. But if you forgot your gift box for the Samaritan's Purse, if you forgot it, you can still bring it by the church. And I think they actually are taking it tomorrow. Is that correct? Yes, is that right? Okay, so just let me know that you've got a gift box that you want to, that you maybe didn't get back. So, and like Abe said, we're taking those baby bottles. We're trying to fill those up with coins, if you will, for Family First Pregnancy Center, you know, for those folks down there, man. They appreciate that every year. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know this is a week? This is a month of Thanksgiving. Is that right? How many feel like this is a year of Thanksgiving? Maybe. Come on, man. Hallelujah, man. I don't know. It's been a crazy year, hasn't it? But you know what? I thank God for all that He's doing. Amen. God knows what He's doing. I'll say that over and over again. He knows what He's doing. Can you trust God? Can you really trust God? I said, yeah, you can. God is trustworthy. Amen. He showed Himself strong. I mean, ever since time began, He showed Himself strong. So you can trust God. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank God for all of that. Yeah. How many of you are waking up thanking God as soon as you get up? Yeah. Get up in the morning and say, "God, I want to thank You, Lord." Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you, you know, I got up when I woke up one morning, I opened my eyes and I looked around and I said, "Lord, this is a day that You have made. Thank You, Lord. I'll rejoice and be glad in it, no matter what." And it was crazy because I heard the Lord say something to me. He said, "You're welcome." I go, "What?" He says, "You're welcome, Henry." He says, "This is the day I made just for you." Amen. I mean, every day that He does, every day that you rise up, He's made that day for you. Do you know that? You're in that day. You're in the day of the Lord. How many know that? Praise God. I try not to get too close to these books. Because, you know, I even wrote a song. I said, "This is the day. This is the day that the Lord." No, I didn't write that song. You guys are heard. You didn't write that song. Yeah. No, I even wrote a song of it because it just blessed my heart. I didn't realize what God was saying. He goes, you know, yeah, it is the day. You know, the day we live in is the day of the Lord. Do you know that? Do you know the day of the Lord is a day of rest? Do you know that? Do you know that? You can trust God for whatever he's doing, whatever's going on in your life, you can trust him and you can rest. You can just sit back and say, you know what, God, I'm going to rest because you already know what's happening. You plan this from the beginning of time. How do you know that God planned it from the beginning of time? We're going to read that today, that God planned everything from the beginning of time. There's nothing new to him. He doesn't go, oh my, he says, oh my me. I don't know what's going on. He doesn't say stuff like that. He knows. He said, nothing surprises him. I get some of you got that, oh my me. But anyway, praise God. God knows what's going on, and he's going to watch over you and take care of you. He wants to bless you and bless you and bless you. Do you know that? His blessings are open to you. Do you know we're under an open heaven? Do you know that? The blessing of God is upon you. Hallelujah. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross for you, not just for, but for you. Your sins went to that cross. And when he come off that cross, he was buried. And 3 days later, God resurrected him. Amen. And he justified everyone that would believe in him. Everyone that would put their trust in him. I say that's a great deal. How many say amen? It's a great deal. Don't want to pass it up. Hallelujah. So I'm gonna get in the sermon this morning, and then we've got lots to do today. My wife, I guess she's gonna have to ride along with me and head to Nogales after service. But like I say, you don't want to go buy a turkey. We got time. Not much time, but you got time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you will, open your Bibles. To Isaiah chapter 14. I'm going to start at verse 24. Isaiah 14. Start at verse 24. Glory to God. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask you, Father God, that you would open your word to us, Father. Holy Spirit, we ask you, Lord, that you would show us things that we've never seen, that you would speak to our hearts concerning things that we need from you, Father. We thank you that you are able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think, Lord. So, Lord, open our hearts and speak to us this morning. If you agree, say amen. Hey, look at your neighbor, say amen. Amen. Look at him again, say amen. Smile at him. I don't know about you guys. You guys sound a little bit lull today, man, but you know, that's okay. Praise God. Hopefully you'll get something out of this. God's going to excite your heart. Isaiah 14, verse 24 says this, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand." You see that word? That God is talking about, he says, what I have thought, and to tell you the truth, in this reading, he's actually talking about the Assyrian. And he's talking about how he's going to destroy him upon the mountains of Israel. But he says, surely as I've thought, surely as I've thought, it's going to happen. Is that okay? How many of you know whatever God's thinking is going to happen? Is that okay? Is that all right with you? He's already thought of all of this stuff. So it's going to happen because he knows the end from the beginning. Do you realize that? Do you know that God saw everything at the end of time from the beginning of time? He saw it. He planned it. Is that crazy? Those are some crazy thoughts. Let's go to Isaiah. I guess it's 46, verses 9 and 10. And by the way, the Assyrian is actually who we're still having trouble with today, Syria. How many know that? But God says, you know, God says, hey, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And so how many say, okay, I'm not going to worry? Not worried. Not worried. Praise God. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10 says this, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else." I am God, and there is none like me. Amen? How many say amen to that? There's none like God. There's none like him. Nobody like him. Amen? Can't compare him to anything. Is that right? Uncomparable, because there's no other God. Our God consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He's one God, and there's none like him. You can't compare him to anything. He even asked that in the scriptures. He said, who will you compare me to? You can't compare him to anything you see on the earth. You can't compare him to a man or a woman that you see on the earth. You just can't compare God to anything because he's so much bigger than who we are. Amen? I will tell you, man, we've got no idea what he's like. Do you know that? We know he's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He forgives. We know those things. But some of the things that he knows, that we've got no idea. And we're going to have all of eternity. We're going to have a lot of time to see the glory of God. How many say amen to that? I'm looking forward to it. Hallelujah. How many like electronics? How many, I like some of the new high-fangled stuff we got, you know. I used to have a little, what was it called? Not an iPad, but it was a little tiny thing that held music. MP3, there's another, but it was an iPad. Come on. Going once, going twice. iPod. Thank you very much. I used to have one of those, man. I was just amazed how much music I could put in that little guy. Amazing. Because I grew up when we had 33 LP, you know, 78s and L 33s and 45s, and that's when I grew up. And then you know what? What was crazy was a tape recorder had two reels and tape. Oh man, I had to have one of those because you could record your voice and it talked back to you. I mean, it was just crazy. It was the electronics that was going on. But now look at the stuff we've got now. What you used to see on Star Trek, Scotty, beam me up. My wife's got a watch that says, hey, hi, how are you? I said, who are you talking to? Isn't that crazy? All sorts of technology. And can I tell you that I believe all that stuff that God gives it to man, gives us the understanding. Can you imagine? You know, I know that how they built the pyramids and then Stonehenge, you guys know those places? Those are kind of modern marvels, is that right? Of how they built those things. Somehow the technology they had to build those, like Stonehenge, those big old rocks that move, that technology that they had back then, hallelujah. Can I tell you, I believe that God can actually stop technology. How many believe that? He says, okay, you want to get wild on me? I'll get wild on you. No more technology. Nothing's going to work. Isn't that crazy? I believe he could do it. But he loves man. Amen? He loves us. Hallelujah. I want to look at Isaiah 46. This is verses 9 and 10. It says this. Hey, remember the former things of old. For I am God. There is none else. There is none like me. And then he says this. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Amen? God's already declared things, even things in our future that are not yet done. He's already declared them. Saying, he says this, and this is the part I want you to look at. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Do you know that God's going to do what he said he's going to do? Do you know that? How he created man and how he designed us in the beginning? Do you know that God designed a perfect human being? How many know that? How many know that? That you were that man was designed perfect by a perfect creator. See, because he can't create anything that's not perfect. He designed man perfect. That's why mankind, if you will, went through a flood. When sin was overwhelming the earth, he said, okay, I'm going to flood the earth, and I'm going to save 8 folks, 8 people. Why? Would have been me or probably you. I would have said, hey, I'll just start over. Trash that one and start again. Let's make another model. He didn't do that. He saved 8 folks. Why? Because design that he built in the beginning is perfect. How many know that? He's a perfect God, and he knows how to build it. And he said, you know what? I'm going to build it right. He's not going to put it together haphazard. He's just going to build it right. Hallelujah. And he says, I will do all my pleasure. I like this word. I love this word. Hallelujah. So he says, remember the former days of old. In other words, go back to the former. I mean, the furthest back we can go is when he created the heavens and the earth. The first day he created the heavens and the earth. And all those things, items that, do you know that the last thing he created, how many know what the last thing he created was? It was man. It was Adam. Everybody say Adam. You know what Adam means? In the Hebrew, it means nothing more than human. But when you look at it in the Greek, it adds a little to it. It adds a word, exposes blood or shows blood. In other words, like a rosy cheek. And it said in there, Rosie. I like that because my wife's name is Rosie. But Adam, basically, when he created Adam, do you know that the first Adam that God built, Adam in the garden, was perfect? How many know that? How many believe that? Yeah. Because God can't build anything that's missing a part. Or how many know that? He built him perfect. His mind was perfect. Everything he did, his communion with God was perfect. God said, you know, it's not good that man lives alone. So he says, I'm going to make him a helpmeet. You remember that? I'm going to make him somebody to help him. What did he make? Yeah, it really helped him, didn't it? Yeah, come on. Yeah, oh boy. Anyway, you know what he made? He made a woman. But before he did, he said, he took all the animals. Let's read it. When you get a chance, go to Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2. Read what he did. He said, it's not good that man dwells alone. I'm going to make him a helper. And you would think that he would say right then it would start that he would begin to put Adam to sleep. No, you know what he did? He put Adam to name all the animals. He said every animal he created, he brought it to Adam, and Adam named it. The Word of God says that he came to, that God brought the animal to him to see what he would say. To see what he would call it. Do you understand? I mean that kind of makes us think that maybe God didn't know what it was, but no, it's not that at all. God knew what it was. He knew what it was called. And when Adam saw it, his communion with God was so strong that he could hear God say, that's an elephant. Okay, that's an elephant. And man on the earth began to name the animals. I was speaking a few weeks ago that everything that happens on the earth, because you're going to see this, that God gave dominion to Adam to rule over the earth. Then after that point, God had to have man speak things into the earth. Do you understand that? Because that's who God is. He says, I'll create a being that will speak things into the earth. And so Adam named all the animals. And then after he had named all the animals, I used to tell the kids, you know, you started out with elephants, rhinoceros, hippopotamus. And by the time he got done, he was, that's a rat. That's a cat. That's a dog. These little tiny words, man. I'm tired of naming these things, God. Okay. But his communion was strong with the Lord. It's kind of really neat. It's really good. So let's go to Genesis. Let's remember these former things a little bit. And I want to read to you the design that God placed in Adam. And starting at Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26, the Word of God says, and God said, let us make man in our image. That's so important. How many know it's important that we were made in his image? Do you know that? His image. You're made like God. Oh man, there's more to it than we realize. After our likeness, do you see that word? Everybody say likeness. Likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Every creep. Oh, bugs. Okay, let's go. Let's call those bugs. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be careful. I mean, listen to what he says. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Amen? Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God told Adam and Eve, subdue the earth. Have dominion over it. So who let the snake into the garden? Why was there a serpent in the garden? Who let him in there? Why would God allow a serpent that talked to go visit Eve and Adam? Why would God allow that? Because he had told them, if there's nothing to resist you, then there's nothing to show you that you have dominion. Is that okay? So this serpent comes in. He says, hey, did God say immediately? She said, hey, quiet. Leave us alone. Get out of the garden. Whatever. Should have told that serpent to be quiet. But she went and she took from the tree. Adam loved his wife. Amen. Partook of the tree. And you know the story from there, right? Sin entered into the world. Sin entered into the world. God's intent was for us to have dominion over this earth. Is that all right? To cause it to submit. Amen. Hallelujah. Take dominion. When God said to replenish the earth, that word means to fill the earth. And it's just not growing up kids. Do you know that? It's just not filling the earth with a bunch of people. Yeah, it was a bunch of people. See, the command was to fill the earth with people that would be just like Adam. Do you understand that? Problem was, Adam fell. Adam was the first creation of God. Hallelujah. It's funny because when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you're going to find in there that Paul calls Jesus the second Adam, or he calls him the last Adam. See, there's a first and there's a last. Adam, the one he created out of the ground, where he says, the Bible says, and I should have put him down because I didn't write these for you this morning, but he says that he's earthly, he's of the earth. He says, but the last one is not of the earth. He's spiritual because God came to Mary. And an angel told her, hey, God is going to place a seed in you and you will have the Son of the Most High, Jesus. And it's either the last Adam or the spiritual Adam. So there's only two that we have to understand what God planned on the earth. Do you understand that? We had Adam, the first Adam, but he sinned. But then we had Jesus, who never sinned. So it's important that we look at the design of who Jesus is. Do you understand that? Because Jesus was, how many say Jesus was perfect? Can I say, he is the actual picture of your design and how it's supposed to operate. Do you believe that? Oh, it's a beautiful story. It is how God has created mankind after his own image. There's people, we got people that say things like, oh, there was only one perfect and they crucified him. But you see, God is asking us to look and understand what he's done for us. How much are you understanding what God has done for you? How perfect are you? Some folks, nobody's perfect. How perfect are you? That's what I'm asking you this morning. How perfect are you? I want you to see some things. I want you to look at something. Let's look at Jesus. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. What I just want to show you this morning, I felt the Lord saying this morning that have them look at what those little kind of crazy things that Jesus did. Oh, how many of you know that he healed the sick? Raised the dead. Hallelujah. The blind began to see again. Those that are deaf, they began to hear again. See, this is the gospel. These are testimonies of what Jesus did. But there's some crazy things that he also did. How many say amen to that? You know, raising the dead is crazy, isn't it? But I tell you what, there are people that are filled with the Spirit that God is using to raise the dead. How many you know that? Praise God. It's starting to happen all over. Hallelujah. I want you to look at this. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. The word of God says that the same day, when evening was come, he said to them, "Let us pass over to the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Jesus. Who is it? Jesus. Jesus is asleep. You know, the word of God tells us to stay awake. Jesus was asleep on the back of that ship. Can I tell you, that's a picture of who he is, how at rest he is, because he knows his Father. And he said, he's asleep in the pillow. And they woke him up and said to him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care? We're going to die here." And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another. And I want you to look at this. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I like that question. But here he gets up in the middle of this thing. I mean, he's asleep. And these guys are all alarmed, right? Get up, get up. A lot of these guys were fishermen that knew the ocean or knew the sea very well. They knew what it was like. They said, "Man, you know, it had to be one crazy up and down movement in that boat because these guys were used to that kind of stuff." They were, but probably not that strong. So they wake him up, and the Bible says that he gets up and he... He rebukes it. He says, "Peace, be still." I like the word rebuke because a rebuke means to set back into order. If you look it up in the Greek, you look it up in the Hebrew, you're going to find that word means to set back in order to the original intent. That sea, Jesus is saying, "You're not created to do this. Stop. That wind, stop." He rebuked it and went back and told his disciples, "Why are you so fearful?" See, Jesus was showing us something. How many of you now are rebuking the sea? How many of you now are rebuking the wind, the weather? How many, does anybody in here rebuke the weather? How many of you tell it, "Man, come on, man. I don't need rain right now. I love rain, but I don't need it right now. Stop." How many of you ever done that? I mean, can I tell you something? These are the attributes of the man of God, that a son of God that's in the earth. You have it. He's in you. If you believe that he died for you and he rose again, he's in you. Hallelujah. Check this out. Check this next one. I like this one. I used to call it the goldfish story. How many of you guys know the goldfish story? It's a beautiful story, but anyway, it's Matthew chapter 17, 24 through 27. That's what the word of God says there. Matthew 17, 24 through 27. It says, "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, 'Does not your master pay tribute?'" Here these guys are after taxes. How many know that? The IRS is right here talking to Peter. "Does your master pay taxes?" "And he said, 'Yes.' And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him," or stopped him, "and saying, 'What do you think, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? of their own children or of strangers? This is an important question for us, guys. This it really is. He's asking Peter this question. And he says, who do the kings of the earth take tribute or taxes from? Their own children or the people? Peter said unto them, strangers. Jesus said to them, then the children are free. Listen to that. Listen to what he's saying. The children are free. Can I tell you that if you're in the kingdom of God, everything that God brings to you is coming out of his hand. Your job, your work, your finances, everything God gives you. Do you understand that? That's why it's so important that we've been talking this morning. Rest in him. Trust him. He brings all these things to you if you'll just trust, wait for him. Amen? Hallelujah. And he says, and they said, he said, well, then the children are free, he said. That's what Jesus tells them. Notwithstanding, because we don't want to offend these folks. You know why he says that? Because we don't want to make them, because I get it. They don't understand this. They don't understand the principles of the kingdom of God. Therefore, he says, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast a hook, take up the fish that comes up, and when you have opened his mouth, you shall find a piece of money. Take that and give to them for me and thee. You like that? You like that story? I love that story. I love telling that in that story. I love telling the fact of the matter is that God spoke to a little fish swimming by the sea. Isn't that right? You guys have heard this before. Swimming by the sea. And he says, hey, come here. Yeah, what's up, God? Do you know that the whole creation responds to God? What's up, God? God, what can I do for you? Yeah, hey, see that piece of gold right there? Oh, it doesn't say gold. Let's see that coin right there? Pick it up. I don't need coin. But for you, God, I'll pick it up. This little obedient fish goes and picks up this coin. Then the Lord says to him, take it over by the seashore. Okay, I'll take it wherever you want me to take it. I'll take it. So he takes it over by the seashore. And then the Lord says, see that hook? My mom told me to stay away from those. See that? Get on that hook. Oh, Lord. Can you see the obedience in this little fish? Oh, I don't know, Lord. Okay, for you, I'll do it. He gets on it, and it's Peter. Whew, he gets his fish, takes the coin out, throws the fish back in. I'm free, oh, hallelujah, praise God. But what I want you to see is what God said in the beginning, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over all the earth. You see this? Do you understand what's happening? Jesus is displaying what God has intended for man. See, Jesus didn't do anything. See, you might say, well, that was God, that was Jesus. See, he didn't do anything that God didn't intend for you to walk in. Isn't that crazy? That's wild, isn't it? Yeah. Need money? Head down to the lake. Come on in. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's important that we understand that God designed mankind to have dominion and subdue the earth. Is that cool? It's important. It's important to us. Hallelujah. Let's look at this last story. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 27. Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and constrained them to go to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to do what? What did he do? Remember, he is the example of our design. Jesus was a praying person. How many say amen to that? He prayed. If there's anything about his life, you'll see him that he would resort and go off by himself and he'd pray. You remember him praying in the garden where he sweated. Jesus prayed. He was a praying man. He was in full communion with his Father. He's showing us something, folks. He's showing us that your design is designed to commune with God, to have communications. And then he says he went and prayed. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was what? Contrary. The wind was contrary. Anybody had anybody do it contrary against you? Anybody spoke something? I mean, you ever had your wife or your husband do be contrary? Hallelujah. And how many know that there can be a wind in there? Anyway, this is happening. And Jesus, in the fourth watch of the night, went to them, what? Walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Amen? See, Jesus is, I mean, was Jesus doing things like this for a reason? Was he showing off? Was his intent to show off? I'm going to walk on the water. Hi, boys, I'm going to call a fish to bring up a coin. Peter, go get it. Was he showing off? He was not showing off. The only thing he was showing was the original intent of the design. God said it this way. What I thought, it's going to happen. Can I tell you that God has taken us to that point? Can I say, there's been a lot of years passed, but God has taken us to where we're going to have dominion. Can I just say, I believe it's happening. Hallelujah. So why did Jesus come? Why did he come? What was his mission here on earth? Just like we've been saying. He came to show us what a man of God looked like on this planet. He came to demonstrate this is the design that God made you in. How many say amen to that? See, I mean, we have learned to say things like nobody's perfect. I'm only human. We've learned to say that. Why? Because the world out around us doesn't understand what God's doing. And maybe we don't understand what God's doing. So we say those things just along with them. But the fact of the matter is, God says, no, man, you're created in my image. And to say anything other than that, you might be saying to God, well, you don't know how to make people, do you? Because I'm damaged. I'm messed up. Can I tell you that God knows how to fix the damage that's going on in your life? Do you know that? Do you know that he can do it better than anybody else can? I could not stop drinking. I just couldn't. And I knew it. And I told my wife, I'm going to quit drinking. This Lent, I'm quitting drinking. She said, don't even tell me that anymore. She goes, you can't. You can't stop. And I knew that I couldn't stop. But when I gave my heart to Jesus, it stopped. It stopped. I haven't drank since. I have not. 1970, August 8th, 1979, I can tell you that I had one little taste because I was helping a guy that had no electricity. We were putting cabinets in his house. He had no electricity because he had killed the power. So he had an ice chest out there. And he didn't have no water. He didn't have no sodas. What he had was beer. And I go, hey, I'm going to run down to my house and grab some beer. He goes, just have a beer. And I took a taste of it. And man, immediately I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I can't say I haven't had a beer since then. I have not drank a beer. Because God did a work in me. And he knows how to fix those things that are busted in you. How many know they say amen to that? He is called the great physician. Do you know that? He is a doctor. How many know that? He knows how to heal. How many know that? Can I tell you, doctors really don't know how to heal. They know how to help healing, but the healing actually comes from the hand of God. Hallelujah. He's the one that creates it. He's the one that causes the body to respond. Hallelujah. And he loves us. So healing does come. Hallelujah. So what was his reason? His reason was number one for sin. Let me look at the scripture here. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says this. In whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his glory. He came to forgive our sins. How many say amen to that? Amen. We really tie God's hands if we continue in sin. How many know I say amen to that? You really tie his hand. You really keep your blessings away from you because, God cannot bless sin. He doesn't want you to believe that the sin that's happening in your life and you know about it and you don't want to release it. He doesn't want you to think that God's still going to bless me. See, that thing will destroy you. Do you know that? It will destroy you. Our world is, we think we're in a pandemic right now. Can I tell you that sin is a pandemic? It's horrible. It destroys lives. It really does. And unless God intervenes by his spirit, woo, you've got no chance. You've got no chance. He comes and he forgives sin. I always say, God, forgive me. I have sinned. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, took my sins. It's actually called, you died with him on that cross. When he went to the cross, you went to the cross. How many say amen? How many of you were there? Come on, you were there. Even though you didn't know anything about him, Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You were there. He knew you because he knows the end from the beginning, just like we talked before. He knows you. So you died on a cross. They buried him. When they buried him, they buried you. Is that okay? That's what this is about. That's what the baptism is about. You're standing there, and then you go back under the water, which is the burial. It's the life, the death and burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ when you come back up. That's what baptism is about. Isn't that cool? This in itself won't save you. It's, do you believe what Jesus has done for you and receive what he's done for you? And the other thing, he came to redeem you. Redeem, what's redeem? He came to reposition you into the place that you had lost. Is that okay? He comes to redeem mankind into the position that we lost when Adam sinned. And when you give your heart to Jesus, when you allow him to come in your life, you are repositioned. The Bible says you're seated in high places in Christ, in heavenly places in Christ. Do you know that? Even though you don't understand the complete working of it, that's what God is doing. He is causing you to be like him. Paul the Apostle said something like this. He said, in Galatians chapter 4, he says, my dear children, who I pray constantly till Christ be formed in you. See, the work of the cross is to form Christ in you, which is actually, you're not going to look like Jesus. Your hair is not going to get long and all this other. You're not going to look like Jesus, but who he is, God in you will begin to be displayed through you. Isn't that cool? You'll walk and you talk. You see somebody drowning on a lake, don't swim out to them. Run out there. Go grab them. Because your design is heavenly and not earthly. Can I say that to you? A heavenly design that God's placed within you. It's crazy. For a long time, we've missed these things. We've missed a lot of these things. And God is saying, hey, today's the day. Can I tell you when it said, he said, when God told Adam, he said, hey, subdue the earth. And he said to replenish the earth. And that word means to fill the earth. Can I tell you that there are more Christians alive today all around this world than we've ever been before? How many know that's true? There are more spirit-filled Christians alive today all around this planet. And you see, the word to Adam was to fill the earth, not just with people, but with people that knew God. That was God's command to him. fill the earth with people just like you that hear me, that can call animals out, that can, that you know, all those things. Isn't that cool? We're all around the earth now. Now, let me just say this to you. This is why I believe God is getting ready to do an outpouring like we've never seen before. That the church is about to experience an outpouring. See, it used to be, there were not a lot of folks. There weren't a lot of people out there. You had a little over here in Azusa Street. And you had some maybe in Brownsville and maybe over in Toronto and maybe, I don't know, a lot of places over in Europe that where there was these little outpourings in cities. But I'm telling you, the world is going to experience an outpouring like they've never seen before. It's coming. Because we've filled the earth. That's why you go out and you speak to your neighbors. Because every time you speak to them, you get them fired up over the Lord and you pray for them and they give their hearts to the Lord. And I said, this is the best thing for you, man. You'll see that God watches over you, takes care of you. Watch, just watch, read his word, pray. And you watch. And that's why God is saying, speak, go out in the world, talk to folks, let them know that God's getting ready to do something crazy. You watch. It's going to happen. Amen. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, just kind of another scripture that where Paul says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of his sins. God, Jesus came for two things, to redeem us and to forgive our sins. Cool, man. Amen. So then he says this. So it's Jesus tells us to learn from him. Can I just say that? Can I tell you the information world we're in it can be very damaging to us. How many say that? How many know that's it is the truth? One guy says this and the other guy says that. This other guy says this. And these can be brothers in the Lord. There's one over here saying this, one over here saying this. Oh, you got to do it this way. You got to do it that way. You can't do it that way. Oh, that's out of the devil. Oh, whatever. You know, whatever. How in the world are you supposed to know? Jesus said it this way. He says, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, I think. This is in the NIV. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How many like rest? I mean, I love the rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Is that right? What does it say there? Learn what? From me, right? Does that say from Pastor Henry? No. Does that say from Billy Joe Baker? I don't know. I'm just naming names out there. Who is Jesus saying you to learn from? From him. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can I tell you, folks, that God is trying to present our design to us. He's trying to present who you are in him. And some of us are so busy looking at all these other things that we're not hearing what God is trying to say, where the Holy Spirit is trying to say, look, I want to show you something. Let me show you something. Oh, no, hold on, man. I want to go watch Brother Henry on the whatever. Oh, I want to watch whatever. You know, and the Holy Spirit is saying, no, let me show you. No. I'll be right back. I'm going to go watch, I don't know, whoever some of the other brothers are, man. And can I tell you, man, God has sent his Spirit to lead you into all truth, to guide you into these things. Let him do it. Is that right? Who cares what everybody else says about you? Can I tell you who cares? Is that okay if I say that to you? Who cares what people say about you? If you're seeking God, can I tell you, they might not say good things about you. Jesus said it this way, if they persecuted me, guess what they're going to do? They're going to persecute you. So don't worry about it. Go after God and watch what he does. Because once you're going after God and you hear him speaking into your spirit, then your course is set. You can't get off. Is that right? You can't mess up. These brothers, you got to do this. Yeah, well, God's saying I got to do this. Yeah, well, you got to look at this. Well, God's telling me I got to look at this. Can I tell you, we are in a world, we are in a time where the enemy is trying to distract the church, because you are a design that is perfect. I'm going to say that to you because that's how he created you. And when God does it, he knows how to get it there. Allow him to take you there. Amen? Hallelujah. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can I tell you, if you're finding it hard, figure out your way, just go to him. He'll show you. He loves you. He cares for you. I don't know what he has for you. Your pastors and, I mean, we love you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to try to help you. But to tell you the truth, unless God speaks something very specific in my heart about you, I'm going to tell you, go to him. He'll help you. He does it all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. So that was what it says. John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become what? So, I mean, and that's crazy. That's kind of a cool term. He gives you power to become sons of God. Even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Do you see why you were born? I mean, hey, whether you were left on a doorstep in front of a hospital, or your mom didn't care about you, or you were born rich or whatever, whatever reason you were born, it is the will of God. And for you to be in his house, loving him and worshiping him, that's his will. And he's taking you to things that you don't even understand yet, but you will. Is that okay? Hallelujah. So, and he says this, he says, but as many as received him, how many of you received Jesus? Have taken him and say, man, yeah, God, I got you. To as many as received him, to them gave he power. This is the Holy Ghost. He comes into your life. The power of God comes into your life. And then he begins to work with you so that you might become what? Sons of God. It takes the Holy Spirit to get you to where God, the things that God has designed for you. Is that cool? That's very cool. So do not leave him out of your life. Don't get distracted with what's going around you in today's world. Don't let it distract you. Go to God, and he will give you peace, and he will show you that your life is a planned life through him. He has purpose and plan for you, and he'll take you there if you let him. How many of you admit that, man, sometimes I don't let him do things that I don't. I admit to that. Say, God, you want me to go do what? Now? I'm getting ready to eat tacos. And you want me to go over there now? And sometimes we resist them, amen? But the thing is when you hear it, don't resist him. Do what he tells you to do, because obedience is big with God. And when the more you obey, the more you hear. The more you hear, the more you do. And the more you do, the more the glory comes through you, because you're hearing him. You're not just doing church. I'm so tired of people trying to do church rather than doing what God wants them to do and allowing him to flow through them. Isn't that cool? I think it's cool that when we say yes to God, God begins to work through you, and then his glory comes upon you. It's the neatest thing. It's not like church we've ever done before. How many say that? How many say, it's not like what we're used to. I'm not even used to it. God spoke to me some things I'm not used to. I said, okay, God, sounds kind of weird. People aren't going to like it. But he says, nevertheless, obey me. I said, okay, I'll do that. And I have found that everything he's told me, he's been true to what he said. Isn't that cool? So listen for him. Seek him. You'll find him. And when you find him, he'll give you instruction. He'll show you what to do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Praise God. We got some baptisms to do. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters, Father God, that the distractions of this world, Father God, would be almost meaningless to them. Father, we know we got to live in this world, but Father, almost meaningless to us compared to our love and our devotion to you. So Lord, I ask you, Father, as they seek you, Father God, speak to their hearts, Lord. Let them find you in ways they've never, ever thought they would find you. Thank you for it this morning. We praise you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. You guys are going to have a great week. Hey, hold on with me.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.